We are actually beginning a brand new series today, and the series is going to be titled Teach Us to Pray. Okay, let me get into today's message. It is an overview. So, teach us to pray. Where does that come from? Luke 11, verse 1. And it says this: Once Jesus was in a certain place praying, and as he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. So I believe that this is something that is so important for followers of Christ, that we learn to pray, and prayer is something that is taught and learned. It isn't something that comes natural. It isn't something you just automatically know how to do. You see, prayer is really communication with the Lord Jesus. And when you communicate with the Lord Jesus, it's really similar to communication in any kind of relationship. Because see, as a Christian, we don't see this as religion or duty, but as a relationship with Jesus. Well, if you say you have a relationship with somebody, what happens often? You communicate. You see, good communication is something that we have to learn in normal life. As babies, what do you notice about babies, guys? You know, besides the fact that they drink a lot of milk and make dirty diapers. Besides that, they don't talk. Their communication is very limited. It's limited to, and you got to figure it out. Or coo-coo, whatever, you know, what they do. So they are taught and they learn from those around them. And eventually they learn how to speak. And then their speaking is limited, but they learn how to speak. You know, want water, whatever. They learn the basics. Well, in our Christian walk and our communication with the Lord, sometimes that's how it is. A new believer might not even know how to talk to the Lord yet. They're like that baby in the faith. But they're going to learn from others around them, and eventually they're going to get really good at communicating. Did you know that couples who have great relationships have great communication? It goes hand in hand. If there's bad communication, guaranteed it's a bad relationship. That just goes together. Good communication, good relationship. Now you're like, well, isn't there more to relationship than that? Of course there's more than that. But bottom line, you need good communication. What about parents and children? Parents who have good relationship with their kids have learned how to have good communication. If you have a teenager and zero communication, you probably have a really rough relationship with your teen. If your communication is only, how come you're just so bad and you don't know what you're doing, you should, that's not good communication, and it's not going to be a good relationship. So couples who have good communication have a good relationship. So how's your communication? Are you speaking and listening? Are you speaking in a way that's understood and listening? Are you speaking in a tone that shows you care and listening? Do you notice how I'm putting listening in there a lot? That's because I learned the hard way. You got to listen. I wasn't always a good listener. You have to learn communication. It doesn't come naturally. That's the same thing with communicating with our Lord, and we call that prayer. So if you're like, man, I don't really know how to pray, that's okay. Just like babies didn't know how to talk and toddlers kind of only have a little bit. But if you want to learn, you're in the right place. Because we are about to go into a lot about prayer. Now, here's the good news. Prayer is probably not what you think it is. Often when you say the term prayer, people think it's boring or it's going to be tiring or I'm going to close my eyes and then I'm going to fall asleep. Prayer is exciting because prayer should be something of a communication that is real. Oh, there might be tears. Prayer can happen on a hike. Prayer can be a prayer walk with a bunch of friends, walking, laughing, praying. Prayer can be laid out on the floor, going into the Lord, knowing, man, we need this. Prayer can be a couple outdoors in love, praying. Prayer should be something we get excited about because of who we're communicating with. And if you don't, it's not your fault. It's probably the fault of some of us religious people making prayer boring. Prayer should not be boring. Bottom line, no communication equals no relationship. Strong, healthy communication is strong, healthy relationship. If you've ever been in a relationship and the communication got so bad that it disappeared, guaranteed that relationship came to an end unless you fixed the communication. Whether that's a work relationship, whatever. If, you know, the communication is kind of rough and there's yelling and stuff, that's not good communication. But if sometimes it gets to where there's none, you know it's over. So you better fix the communication or move on. That's not for couples that are married. That was other stuff. Okay. Did you know that you can tell how strong your relationship is with the Lord by your prayer life? I didn't tell you to look at other people. I'm saying our own self. If you've ever wondered, I wonder how my relationship with God is. Well, how's your prayer life? If you just talk to him once a week at church, your relationship might not be that great. Your walk might not be that strong. So that brings us really to our first point that's kind of going to be the introduction to all the prayer we're going to talk about, and it's this. You must have a private prayer time with the Lord because it is communication. Obviously, you pray at life groups, you pray at church, but you need a private prayer time, communication time with the Lord. It is the first thing every believer's got to figure out. Me and him, let's communicate. Jesus actually himself prayed and had a private time of prayer with the Heavenly Father, and here he is, God in the flesh. But he, as a human being, showed us how it's done, and he had a private prayer time where he communicated regularly with the Heavenly Father, and he listened and heard back. Mark 1, verse 35, it says this, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed." To have a private and meaningful prayer communication time with the Lord, you're going to probably have to get yourself separated from all the noise, okay? So you have to find a time and place that works for you, and you begin talking with him. You know, your private prayer time might be when you drive to work in your truck. That's still a private prayer time, or your car. It's just you and him, and you're learning to talk and listen. Did you know that Jesus said he only spoke and did the things that he heard his Father say? When did he hear his Father speak? When he left, early in the morning, when it's still dark, when nobody else is bugging him, nobody else is telling him what he should do, nobody else is pulling at his cloak, nobody else is yelling, he's, "Okay, God, I need my orders for today. What are we doing? Where are we going? What's the plan?" You see, your private prayer time is where you get really good at communicating with the Lord and really good at hearing the Lord. There are many, many different types of prayer, and they often overlap. We're doing some of the different prayers at the same time. And we're going to look today very quickly at some of the types of prayer that we're going to look at throughout the series. So we're going to go pretty quick through this, but I just want you today to really think about how would I be using that kind of prayer between me and him, because that's where it all starts. Have you ever thought, "Boy, I wish God would speak to me when I'm praying for somebody else"? He's not going to do that if he's never spoken to you in your private prayer time, because that's where you learn how it's done. And you're thinking, "Well, what if he doesn't want to speak to me?" He is always speaking. It's a matter of us opening our spiritual ears and hearing. Okay? I want you to know that. He is not a God that's like, "Well, I have favorite kids and I don't like you, so I'm not going to talk to you." That's not the kind of father he is. That would be a really bad father, right? He is always speaking, always wanting to give you information. Now, the way he speaks is different than you and I speak, because he's a spirit and he must be worshiped in spirit and truth. It's why Jesus said at one spot, "Lord, open their ears that they might hear." He's talking about the spiritual ears. You have to be able to hear in the spirit to hear the Holy Spirit or God our Father speaking to you. Now, some people have heard a very audible voice of the Lord speaking, and he can do that if he chooses to. But generally, we call it the still small voice. That's him speaking in the spirit to your spirit. And what does that sound like? It can sound like an amazing peace. It can sound like your own thoughts giving you the answer that you were asking. It can sound like this feeling of love, and you know you're supposed to go talk to so-and-so. That was him speaking. Okay, so it's not complicated, but you have to learn communication. Just like you learned how to read in school. Just like you learned spelling and you learn how to communicate with him. Take time and practice. You're like, well, we should just be a natural at it, shouldn't we? I mean, if we love him, shouldn't we just be able to do it? You know, I've heard couples say, well, we love each other, so shouldn't we just have great communication? It doesn't work that way. If you don't practice how to communicate with each other, it doesn't matter how much you love each other. If your communication gets twisted or messed up, it actually hurts your love. It hurts your relationship. And then you start thinking, maybe we don't love each other. No, you do love each other, but you don't know how to communicate. Well, that was almost rough. Forgive me, whoever that was for. Learn how to communicate with one another. Learn how to communicate with the Lord. Your private prayer time. Set a time and talk to him and then be quiet and listen. And you know what? At first, you're probably going to say, I don't hear anything. I tell people, listen anyways. And then for some, maybe you're someone who likes to take notes or jot things down. Take a little notebook with you. Give them your prayer list and then just be quiet and listen. If you're like, oh, I should write that down, that could be him speaking to you. Do it and do it often. Okay, let's get to the types of prayer really quickly. By the way, I just want you to know about prayer and learning. I've been a believer for many, many years, since I was 8 years old, and I can still learn new things about communicating with him. You never run out of things to learn when you're communicating with the creator of everything. You never run out of new experiences and the excitement of coming into his presence. It doesn't get old or boring. God is not like us. He is, it says his ways are past finding out. Now that's an awesome relationship. So forever you can be learning new things about him. You can be experiencing new things with that relationship. So spend time with him. Be excited about getting into his presence. So here's what I want to start with in the types of prayer. The Lord's Prayer. Of course, the Lord's Prayer is something where when the disciples first asked, teach us to pray, he actually said, okay, pray like this. And he gave them this prayer. Matthew 6, verse 9, it's in a couple of the Gospels. I'm going to read it here. After this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, there is actually a pattern in that prayer of a good personal prayer time. I'm not going to go into that, but I am going to say this. I find it interesting that Jesus, he gave them a pattern, but he was also saying, you know what? You can memorize a prayer if you like. Now, Pentecostals were pretty spontaneous. You're like, memorize a prayer? Is that like even Holy Spirit? Anyways, Jesus said, go ahead, memorize a prayer if you want. If you're learning to communicate and you got to memorize something, go ahead. Memorize it so that you have some words to say. All right, let me go to the second one. I got so much I want to say on prayer, but I got to keep moving here. Number two, the prayer of thanksgiving and praise. So one thing I have found that often when people first come to prayer, they're like, I don't have anything to say. So you can do a memorized prayer, go ahead. The second thing, you can give thanksgiving and praise. That's just where you're thanking him for what he's done, you know, this earth you made. We thank you, spring is finally coming, you know, whatever. You thank him for what he has done and you praise him. Listen to Psalm 100 verse 4. It says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generation. This is a great scripture, and it's basically saying this, people. Start your prayer time with some thanksgiving and praise. You actually enter into his presence that way. I remember a number of years ago in a prayer meeting, and there was a lady in the prayer meeting, and my wife and I were in the prayer meeting, and there was a bunch of other people, and there was this one lady, and she You know, we're praying and she just starts singing to the Lord, praising him. She was completely off key. It was like for a musician, it was like, oh, ouch. But I remember like it's prayer meeting. She just loves the Lord, right? And she's just going and, you know, the prayer meeting ends and we're coming home and my wife, you know, I didn't say to anybody how off key it was. Just as a musician, you heard it and it was a great prayer meeting. And as we're going home, my wife says, did you know that God showed me something in the prayer meeting? I said, oh, really? She said, yeah, when that lady was singing, God showed me something. I was like, oh, I didn't tell her, I didn't say anything because we just want people to be free. It doesn't matter if they're on tune or not in prayer meeting, just go for it. But she said, this is what I saw. She said, I saw that lady when she started singing. She said, it was like this picture opened up for me and it was like she walked right in front of God's throne. With that song that was completely off key because it was her heart and her heart was 100% in tune with who she was worshiping. And my wife said, I saw this picture. She was right in front of him and the Lord just looked at her and smiled and said, what do you want? You can have whatever you want because she entered with her heart in praise. So when you begin prayer, you don't have to sound like the worship team. If you want to sing, sing. If you want to just say, you are awesome, I love you, do it from here, and I'll tell you what, your Heavenly Father is ready. He's like, what do you need? What do you want? So just begin to do it. So thanksgiving and praise. The other kind of prayer that is one that most of us know would be praying for your needs, for the things you need. It's called a prayer of petition. Most people have done this kind of prayer, but maybe not correctly. Sometimes this kind of prayer comes off as begging God or if you care, please give me, you know, the finances or, you know, if you actually love me, you know, we find ways to beg God, but actually petition prayer shouldn't be begging at all. And so I'm just going to give one verse on this because we are going quickly. We'll expand on all of these in the next weeks. Mark 11:24. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. So we talked about asking the Lord and you ask again, but there is also asking and believing that he's good and he wants to give it to you, okay? I don't have time to go into that deeply, but I am going to tell you this. When you ask for him to meet your needs, believe that he's good and he wants to. So many people are like, God, you know, if you're not busy, I know there's way more important people than me, but if you could maybe do this. That's not really believing when you're asking. It's more like, God, you are so unbelievably good. We just come to you and we're just asking that you would do miracles right now. And Lord, I thank you that that bill, big bill that's coming at the end of the month, you already knew it was coming. And so I ask you to pour in an area that I didn't even see coming and it'll be done. Believe it. Believe it when you ask. Don't come to him and be like, Lord, it feels like you hate me because, you know, this just, no, he doesn't hate you. He loves you. You know, even as a church and as a leadership team, we do this too. We trust God for what he's doing at the church. At our board meeting last month, we all got together and prayed at the end. You know, our finance person brings the finance and sometimes she's like, well, it's less, you know, or and we're looking, I said, well, the Lord is the one we trust. Let's pray and believe. And so we don't come to him as a board team and be like, well, Lord, I don't know if you noticed. That's not how we're like, Lord, you are so amazing. And Lord, and this is how we pray. Lord, if people in our church are struggling in their finances and we don't know about it, we just pray blessing over them. Because it's the people giving that a church goes forward. You guys' finances need to be healthy. So we pray for you. We don't pray, get some money out of them. That's not how we want to pray. We say, Lord, overflow them. So they're so blessed. They're like, how can we help you? And we just want to know that we prayed for you guys like that. And then we say, God, and you can bring it in the church however you choose to. And he does every single time because he's good. And he wants to do it for you as well. Okay, so that's asking and believing. Again, not a lot of time. Let's keep moving. There is intercession prayer, praying for others. This is some of the most fun kind of prayer there is. I don't know about you, but I remember in the early years as a believer, I found it easier to pray for others than myself. It was like I could believe for others more than myself. I don't know what that was about, but if you're a new believer, maybe you're like, oh, I just want to pray for others. It's like, I believe every time I pray for them. You got to believe for you too, but believing for others is important. So pray for other people. Let me give you one verse and we'll quickly continue through this. 1 Timothy 2 verse 1. I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf. That just means you're going to God for them. Okay, that's what that means. Give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. So praying for other people is a huge, amazing thing of prayer, and it makes a difference. This scripture specifically speaks of praying for leaders and just praying for them. And I believe we should pray for our leaders by name. You know, you should pray for the mayor. You can pray for our premier. You can pray for our prime minister. It doesn't say only pray for them if you like them or if you voted for them. That's not what it says. It says pray for them. They're the ones who are in leadership right now. Pray for them. Pray that God directs. Pray that God intervenes if things are going astray. Pray that God has his way no matter what. Pray that God stirs their hearts, changes their hearts, draws them to himself. Pray that they make decisions that are godly even if they aren't godly people. And pray that God uses them for the time they are there and moves them on when their time is done. Amen. I kind of got into that one. Sorry. Let's keep moving. So that was praying for others or intercession. How about this kind of prayer? Praying for the sick, or we'd say healing prayer. James 5 verse 14. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. So in that time, they would have elders of the church, that's more mature believers. They say, you know, you're sick, get them together and have them pray over you and even anoint with oil. The idea of anointing with oil, it was symbolic of the Holy Spirit or the healing power of God. The oil didn't have special powers. And so sometimes you'll see people pray and they have a little oil and they dab it on. So don't be afraid if someone says, hey, we just want to put oil. It's just a symbol of God's healing, anointing power. And it was something that was done in Scripture, okay? So not a bad thing. Also not necessary for healing to have oil, but prayer for healing, declaring healing. And healing is a big topic that I can't get into right now. And you'll see that it's prayer, it's believing, it's declaration, it's sometimes commanding things to be made right. So get ready, you're going to enjoy that one in the series later. Also, how about this one, the prayer of blessing. This is so good. The prayer of blessing where you bless somebody else, or you bless your family, or you bless your business, or you bless the church, you bless your community. Declaring blessing, or what we call the prayer of blessing. Number 624. This was an actual blessing in Numbers that the priests were supposed to pray and declare over Israel. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Some of you maybe have heard that song, The Blessing. They basically used words straight from that scripture to write that song. Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and give you peace. Right from scripture. You didn't know that. That song, when they wrote it, I believe they wanted it to be a song that went around the world declaring blessing, because the song was written during a time of where the whole world was afraid of sickness. So declaring blessing is a powerful thing and something we definitely should do. This scripture where it says bless, the Lord bless you, do you know that it actually means to bend the knee? It's to bow or bend the knee, to lean towards. So when they're saying the Lord bless you, we're actually saying the Lord come right into your situation. Get right in front of you and be, what do you need? A picture came to me of this, what it might look like. We have a new baby that showed up at our house. Very tiny, 23 days old now. And the picture that came to me was one of our teenage daughters. And you know, teenagers, you really never know what's going to happen with teenagers. But our teenage daughter was like, oh. And she leaned into that little baby. She picked it up. She smiled at it. And she was looking at us. Can I have it? But that leaning in, that, oh my goodness, I will do anything for you, baby. Anything. And you could see it on her face. And you could see it in her actions, especially when she changed a dirty diaper without being asked. Lord have mercy. I don't even do that after being asked. Wow. That's how God wants to bless you. So that blessing that they're speaking of is, you know, his face shine on you. He's like, oh, you are amazing. I'm right here. I'm leaning in. He wants to be gracious. His countenance, and he wants to give you peace. Just like our daughter shining is their face, that little baby, and boy, that baby felt loved and peaceful. And I'll tell you what, there's no greater blessing than God's presence getting into your situation. There's nothing that can be greater. So when we say, Lord, bless you, that's what we mean. Let him get into your situation. Okay, I got to keep moving. There's a few here. We may not get all of them in this coming series, but we're going to hit on some of them. Praying for direction or revelation. When we're done today, if you go home and say, I don't have anything to pray, you were not listening. Okay, that's all I'm saying. Today, if all we accomplish is that you walk out of here and be like, wow, there's a lot of stuff we can pray, then we have succeeded, okay? You don't have to memorize all these. You just have to realize you have things you can pray about. Prayer for direction and revelation, Daniel 9, verse 3. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting and in sackcloth and ashes. Daniel knew from books of prophecy that a certain time had expired and that God was going to once again see Israel back and revived in their home country. And so he goes to prayer. He's like, God, I want to see. I want to hear from you. I want to know. I told some of you last week, pray and ask God for an encounter. You ask him every night. You ask him, Lord, I need an encounter with you. Lord, I want to come into your presence. In a sense, this is what Daniel was doing. Lord, I need direction. I need revelation. I need to know, is this the time? Is this what you're doing? And Daniel did it with fasting, and the Daniel fast, you might know it. He had no meat or fancy food or any kind of wine. He just ate vegetables, and it was a partial fast. He was all in. Do you know how long he asked God, who was wanting to show him immediately? 21 days. 21 days it took for him to get an answer, but he didn't quit. He didn't give up. And an angel showed up and said, okay, I'm here. God sent me to give you the word. And the angel says, oh, by the way, the first day that you asked and you humbled yourself, I was sent. But there was some battles going on and another angel was sent to help me, and now I'm here. Isn't that cool? God hears when you ask, but God wants you to ask, and he wants you to continue pressing in until you receive the answer. So that is the prayer for direction and revelation. Now, he also included fasting. Fasting isn't necessarily prayer, but fasting can be a part of prayer. So let's just quickly look at one verse on fasting. And fasting, by the way, is usually something that's private. And I'll show you what Jesus says about it. Matthew 6:16. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they're fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head, wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you're fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So fasting, again, we're going to go deeper on these, but fasting is simply you humbling yourself, denying your flesh, and saying, Lord, right now the most important thing to me is you and what I'm asking for you to answer. Okay? So that is really what fasting is. Fasting, there's so many different kinds. There was the Daniel fast, a partial fast. There was a one-day fast. There's a three-day fast in the scripture. A seven-day fast, a 10-day fast, a 40-day fast. And one time I believe there was a 14-day fast. I might have some of those numbers wrong, but there is a lot of fasting. Different types of fast for different things. But if you are deep in prayer, it is burdening you so much that you don't even want to eat, then go ahead and fast and say, Lord, here I am. Okay? And in the time when you're not eating, talk to him. I'll just leave it at that for today. Simple, simple things. All right. And the main thing tonight is that you go home and you realize there is so much to pray about. I could pray 24 hours a day for the next year and not run out. You just got to know that. And again, what is it all anyways? Communicating with the most amazing God, the most amazing King of Kings, the incredible, the one and only. Did you catch that? The one and only. Think about that for a minute. If there was some famous person that came to town and you got to have a one-on-one conversation with them, you would show up. You would be excited. You would take selfies and post it on social media. And yet here we are, any time we can have a one-on-one with him. Has all the answers, can do anything, and he wants to talk to you. He wants to talk to you. He says in scripture, I will show you great and mighty things which you don't know yet. He wants to show you things. Did you know that? Isn't that cool? He wants to. So if he wants to and we're not seeing and hearing, it just means that we got to take some time and say, Lord, open these ears. Help me to get my mind off all the other stuff. Open my spiritual ears. I want to hear. Okay, number 10, prayer for spiritual battles. So this is another type of prayer. Some call it warfare prayer, but it's the prayer in the spiritual realm, defeating and destroying spiritual powers. But let me just give you the verse, 2 Corinthians 10:3. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to the obedience to make it obedient to Christ. So there is spiritual prayer that happens, and that is something you can learn how to do and be effective at. I don't have time to go into it at all today, but just know there is that. Sometimes you're in a spiritual battle and you're not going to, in the natural, fix it. You've got to deal with the spiritual powers behind it. Anyways, that's enough for that. Another type of prayer that you will hear about is praying in the Holy Spirit. Anybody heard of that before? Praying in the Holy Spirit, it can be praying in tongues, but it can also be praying in your natural language, but it's completely Holy Spirit-led. Okay, just going to throw that out there. And Paul said he prays in the Spirit more than most in that time frame when he wrote. He said, I pray in the Spirit often, but there was some praying in the Holy Spirit stuff that had some guidelines in the church setting so that there wasn't confusion. And he actually said, if you're going to pray in tongues publicly, so like if I was going to just suddenly pray in tongues here for you all, there'd need to be interpretation so that you didn't go away confused. So that was one of the guidelines they put. But obviously in a prayer meeting setting, if people are praying in tongues because they're going in, that's something different. If you're on your own personal time praying in tongues and you don't have interpretation, that's okay. You just pray in the Spirit. One verse, we'll go deeper on that in another message. Romans 8:26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. In other words, sometimes you don't have a clue what to pray. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Just pray in tongues and let him pray through you exactly what needs to be prayed. Even if you don't know what you're saying, the Holy Spirit does. Okay, we can talk way more on that another time. I can see some people kind of like, I've never heard this before. This is a Pentecostal church. I'm supposed to speak about the Holy Spirit sometimes. I don't know why. It seems like sometimes we don't go there, but I live praying in the Spirit, you know, not publicly because I'm not trying to show off I can pray in tongues. I live hearing from the Holy Spirit, and I want you guys to be able to do the same because, well, what did Jesus say? I want you to be witnesses to the world, but wait, don't go out and do it until you've been endued with power from on high. And the being endued from power on high was what? Being filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, so we got to talk about that part. That's important. All right, my last one. And this is the prayer of repentance or confession. Prayer of repentance and confession is actually something, it's a prayer of, oh my goodness, I have blown it, I messed up. You come to the Lord humbly, Lord, forgive me. I am sorry for what I've done, and I'm turning from it. It's called the prayer of repentance, and God forgives. And this is an important prayer because God says no one is perfect, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So it is important to pray. I'm talking to believers right now. If you mess up, ask the Lord to forgive you, and then turn from it. Now, when we talk about the prayer of repentance and confession, of course, there is the amazing prayer of salvation, which is really a confession repentance prayer. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if you believe that God has raised Jesus from the dead, he was crucified for you, raised from the dead. If you believe that and you confess with your mouth, in other words, you speak it, you'll be saved. So it's amazing that a prayer is the doorway to following Jesus. Did I say prayer was important? Did I say communication was important? It's amazing that using our words and communicating to him is the very thing that will transform our life, is the very thing that will usher us into his kingdom. Words, communication. And so that brings me to the end today to talk about this. If you've come here and you've not yet accepted Jesus as your Savior, maybe you heard about him dying on a cross for our sins. Maybe you've heard about him being beaten for us. And you've even been like, thank you, Lord, but you didn't know you could receive a gift of salvation where your sins can be completely wiped out. And you can say, yes, I'm a Christian. I'm going to follow him. The only way to receive that is to use words. You can't be good enough. You don't have to do more things. You simply say, Lord, I thank you, and you use words. And so we are going to take an opportunity today right here in our church, like we do every time, to simply use words. In case there's one or two who didn't get a chance, I'm going to ask all of you to join in with us. Repeat this prayer after me, just letting you use words, what you're feeling right here. So if you will, say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. I ask you now, forgive me of all my sin. I choose today to follow you. Amen. Give God praise for that today.